Hey, body man of God, do you love your wife but sometimes struggle living with her? You know what I mean. You're loving each other one moment and then you're arguing the next. And deep down inside, don't you wish your marriage could be easier? Well, it can be, and we want to help you. On Saturday, June 29th, the Marriage Seekers for Men Boot Camp will be coming to Grand Rapids, Michigan, and you don't want to miss it. From 8 to 2 p.m., you're going to learn simple, proven, practical ways to get along better with your wife, make your marriage easier, avoid unnecessary conflicts and arguments, and even have more sex. That's right, you heard me, I said it, and we're even guaranteeing the results. This is the first ever marriage seminar for men only. So if you live in Grand Rapids, Michigan, or even in the surrounding areas, make sure you register for this event before June 29th or before we sell out, because seating is limited. So to sign up and reserve your spot and take advantage of the early registration discount, go to marriagesecretsformen.com. That's marriagesecretsformen.com.
Welcome to Real Men Connect. Are you ready to be the extraordinary man, husband, father, and leader God called and created you to be? Then get ready to receive wisdom and guidance from some of the country's most respected men of faith as you learn everything you need to know to go from good man to great man, God's way. No judgment, no shame. Just real men with real challenges seeking real change, all for God's glory.
Hello, mighty men of God, and welcome to the Real Men Connect podcast, where we help good men become great men God's way. I'm your host, Dr. Joe Martin, and every week we interview some of the nation's most respected and accomplished men of faith to find out what it really takes to become the kind of husband, father, and spiritual leader God called and created us to be. And each interview session is packed with practical, proven biblical principles you can immediately apply in your relationships, on your job, and in your community. And guys, today we have a guest with us who is a returning guest. So you know what that means. He must be special if he's coming back to the Real Men Connect podcast again. And he's your favorite too. His name is Eddie Caparucci. And if you guys remember Eddie did a show way back in, I guess it was episode 287. But let me introduce you before I even take you back to that episode. Eddie is a licensed professional counselor with a private practice in Marietta, Georgia. So he's not too far from where we are in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And Eddie specializes in treating sexual and pornography addictions. And Eddie is also the author of Removing the Shame Label, Learning to Break from Shame and Feel God's Love. And he has a new book that's going to be coming out hopefully next spring, if not sooner than that, called Managing Your Inner Child, Managing Your Sex / Porn Addiction. And hopefully that book will come out soon, and maybe we can have Eddie back on the show as I dig into that book as well. And Eddie serves as an elder in his church and is passionate about helping people strengthen their relationship with God. And when Eddie appeared back on our show back in episode 287, Eddie talked to us about his book, Removing the Shame, and how we as men can start stepping out of the shadows of shame, guilt, and feelings of unworthiness. And guys, if you haven't heard that episode, make sure you go back and check it out. It was a very, very popular episode. That's why I'm bringing Eddie back on the show again today, because the response was tremendous. So we're going to today we're going to specifically focus on the topic of shame as it pertains to sexual sin and pornography. So please help me welcome back my friend Eddie Caparucci to the Real Men Connect podcast. Thanks for joining us again, Eddie.
Joe, it is a pleasure to be here as always, and I appreciate you having me back. So.
And Eddie, not only are you coming back again, typically when we bring guests back, I mean, it may be a year from now, whatever. Now, it's been a while, but it's been less than a year. So that means that, dude, it's by popular demand, you are coming back here. And I tell you, as many guests as we talk to on the show, I'm just letting the guests out there now who listen to this. Man, I meet such great guys that I don't care if we never got a new guest, if we can just keep talking to some of the old guests that we have, because there's so much that you guys can cover. And even though we have a probably about a 45 to 55 minute show, there's so much more that we can do, because obviously it takes you longer than that to write a book. So, but I appreciate the fact that anytime a guest agrees to come back on again, because Eddie, I know how busy your schedule is, man. So thank you again for joining us again, man.
Well, you're welcome. And again, I appreciate your format, and I appreciate the fact that you're out there and really helping men to better themselves all the time. So, I mean, you're doing great work. It's a wonderful ministry.
Hey, we're doing it together, man. We're soldiers in this this army and this battle for men's souls to turn their hearts back to the one and only person who can give them healing and restoration. And Eddie, I went back. I can't tell you how many times I've listened to your show, how many times I've referred brothers to it to listen to it, because you have one of those shows which I call an archivable. that you want to save them on your cell phone. So whenever you deal with somebody, you say, hey, go listen to this, you know, and check this out. And so when I go back and I listen to your show, I was blessed. Every time I go back, I'm blessed by it. And there's so much that you shared, and I don't want to rehash everything because they should go back and listen to it if they can. But when you were on the show the last time, first of all, when you were on the show, I asked you to give us your favorite Bible verse. And I believe, and I don't have my notes in front of me, but I believe it was like in Galatians. Was it Galatians 6:2 was one of your favorite verses?
Galatians 6:2 is my life verse about carrying other burdens. My favorite verse of the Bible is Romans 5:5. So therefore we have hope. And why do we have hope? Because the Holy Spirit had poured God's love into our heart. And that just overwhelmed me.
Yeah. And see, and that kind of goes with your personality and also with what you've been writing about. Because if we're going to defeat shame, it's going to start with the hope that we can find in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, you know, on the show, when you were here last time, you shared your story with us in detail. I'm begging them to go back and listen to episode 287, because I don't want you to go back into that much detail again, but they can go back and listen to it. But just give us the highlights or the ESPN, what I call the ESPN version of your story, so they can at least understand your background and get some context of why we're bringing you on and why you're an expert in this subject.
Yes. I myself had a sexual addiction. I had pornography issues, but I was more of a womanizer. I could never have one foot in, I'd have both feet into a relationship. I always had one foot in, one foot out. And therefore just chasing after women, objectifying women, using women. And then it was through my work about 20 years ago, my own counseling, that I was able to understand that I suffered from pretty severe abandonment issues and attachment disorder. Taking care of that, I've now been on the road of recovery. And with that, God opened my eyes about 10 years ago. I was in corporate America, and he came and he said, look, he goes, we're not doing this anymore. He goes, I have something else for you. I have something different. I want you to be a Christian counselor. And after that, again, another turn, twist in the road. Once I became a Christian counselor, he started bringing an influx of men into my office who were dealing with pornography and sexual addiction. So therefore, I went and received my certifications and additional training, and that's where my practice is now. I'm just exclusively in treating those men who deal with the addiction, and my wife, who's also in practice with me, works with the women who are trying to manage and deal with the betrayal that they suffered. So again, that's kind of the ESPN soundbite for you.
All right. And you did a great job because, yeah, when I went back and I was listening again to your episode, yeah, we covered a lot of stuff. We got into your family life and that kind of thing. And again, they can go back and listen to that. But I'm already going off script now because I told you, Eddie, before we came on that I had a lot of questions for you. But one of the things is just, and I love when the Holy Spirit is just moving in me, and I can sense the Holy Spirit when I'm talking to guests. And I don't know why I'm going to ask you this, but I can't wait to hear what your response is going to be. But when you were talking about your exploits, being a womanizer, you wouldn't have both feet in. I run into a lot of men, as you do too, as a counselor, and me as a coach and mentor and disciple maker, that when I run into men who are struggling with sexual sin and pornography and addiction, one of the things they ask, and I don't know if they're really looking for an answer or what the answer should be, but I can't wait to hear from you based on your expertise, is, and you hear this question, I'm sure, Eddie, is, why do I do this? What's wrong with me? Because in other words, what they're saying is that they know what they're doing is wrong. They don't want to do it. Like Paul was saying, things I want to do, I don't do. That kind of thing. But they don't, and they start asking that question, why do I do this? What's wrong with me? Why can't I stop? Eddie, what do you tell them when they ask you that?
Well, what I tell them is, first and foremost, congratulations. You've just asked the question that is going to be that pathway for recovery. Because until we understand why your addiction manifested, we're not going to get a good hold on it, because you are not empowered. And therefore, so what we'll do at that point, if we start going through, we go back and we look at, okay, what happened growing up? What were those messages you received directly and indirectly that scarred you from parents, peers, siblings, other people in authority? What were some of those events that happened that maybe caused you to feel humiliated or left out, abandoned? And through that, I came up with 9 different buckets of why men abuse sex.
Well, I can't wait to hear this. You know you got to cover all 9 of them.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, just a few is like life lack stimulation, the need for affirmation, the need for attention, the inability to emotionally connect, the need for control, sense for entitlement, early stimulation or sexual abuse. That's the only one that has anything to do with sex. Feelings of inferiority, and then stress buster. Those are the buckets that within that men have different emotional triggers that will set them off. And what they do is they move forward seeking soothing. They want to escape from those emotional triggers. And that's when they abuse sex. They'll use pornography or other sexual activities. But basically the reason why, if they're seeking comfort or they're seeking an adrenaline rush, but it's based on past emotional scars and trauma.
And you did an excellent job in covering that. And I know now some of the men out there, somebody might be listening, say, Joe, could you now help them, let them unpack each one of those 9? I would like to say I would love to, but that's not the focus of this show today. And so, Ed, that seems like another invitation to bring you back on again. or you doing something extensively on that. And maybe I could talk to you off the air about that, because I'm hearing that, man, you should be doing a webinar or something of talking about just those things. Because I think a lot of as men, we don't understand that's why. We keep thinking it's the porn. And you just pointed out, too, that out of all those things, you mentioned those buckets, only one had to do with sex. And that one actually impacted me, too, because I was sexually abused as a child. And that had a lot to do with it, but it wasn't the only thing. That's why I'm so glad how you listed those 9. But I will ask you this about those 9 before we move on. Did you come up with that over time, or was that in your studies that you found that out? Oh, how did you come up with those indicators?
It was through both studies as well as in my clinical practice. These are the things that kept coming up over and over and over again. And just to let you know, these 9 are part of what that new book is going to be about.
Fantastic.
Yes.
And so, of course, we're going to bring you on to talk about that. That's going to be amazing. That is great. That is great. See, you already got us off to a good start, and I'm thinking that now we know they're going to listen to the rest of the show, because this is just in the first few minutes that you've enlightened us. But let's go back now and talk about this topic of shame. And you focus primarily on the area of porn and sexual addiction. And I guess I'm already answering my own question, but I want to hear it in your words. As a practitioner, how bad is this issue really for men? And are we just blowing it out of proportion? Because no matter where you go, you hit all statistics about men and pornography addiction and sexual addiction, and then the shame attached to that. Is it as bad? And I guess I'm asking you, is it really as bad as we think it is, or is it even worse? And how bad?
You know, I wish I could say it's not as bad as people are making it out to be. I wish I could say that my practice was dying. You know, I wish I could say there's no need for what I do. Unfortunately, that's not the truth. This is becoming an epidemic. The estimate is anywhere between 3-6% of men, and now a very growing amount of women, have a very deep pornography/sexual addiction. Think about that. That's 3-6% of the population. And with now, with the ability to access pornography at a click of a button, we are seeing kids at a much younger age be exposed earlier and earlier. And so therefore, what's happening is we are just being inundated with couples who are coming in to say, we have a problem, or we have a family problem with this. And the phone rings off the hook in my practice, just like in anyone else who's certified in this area, because there just aren't enough clinicians who are trained to be able to help people here. And it really worries me, it scares me to death, because there are a lot of marriages that are being destroyed. There are individuals who are being destroyed, and there are kids who are being destroyed too. We need to really put more of the resources behind training the people who can be in the trenches to help. But more importantly, we need to be doing efforts to be able to limit access to pornography.
You know, now, Eddie, you mentioned about that number, that, and I hadn't heard that number before, the 3 to 6% who have a deep addiction to pornography and sexual addiction. And I know there may be some guys out there who may think, well, I'm not that bad. There's only 3 to 6%. But that's a lot when you look at the population. But my question then to you would be, what about that person who is saying, well, I'm not that bad off, Eddie. I wouldn't fall in that 3 to 6%. And yes, I look at porn, or I dabble in porn, or yes, I have a extra sensitive libido, and I'm overly sexual. But I'm not that bad. What would you say to him?
I would say that anyone who's using pornography, that there is an issue there, and because the part of the issue is that you are contributing to the objectifying of women. You're contributing to the sex trafficking issue that's going on in this country and around the world. You're not an innocent bystander to all of this. We also look at statistics that show us approximately 60% of all men look at pornography occasionally. And that number, and by the way, all these numbers are very similar, whether they be believers or non-believers. So we have a big problem in our churches also. But to just think, well, you know what, I'm not hurting anyone. You know, the idea is, yes, you are hurting, because you're creating a demand. And if we can kill the demand, then we kill the supply. And that's what we need to try to do, kill that supply. Because again, there are many women who are being victimized here. You know, men have this illusion in their head that, well, the people who are doing pornography, they enjoy it. The women who are doing prostituting and escorting, they're enjoying it. And I always bring up this one example. I say, all right, point me in the direction of that 12-year-old girl who you've asked, what do you want to be when you grow up? And she said, well, I think I want to take my clothes off in front of a camera and have sex with strange men. Who is she? Where is she? Because again, and if she exists, then you know that poor girl has had a lot of trauma in her life. And the women who are in pornography, they're there because they have been hurt, they've been used, and in many cases, they are actually being trafficked into the industry.
You know, and unfortunately, I've been exposed to that industry, been exposed to the women who are part of it. And it's gotten so bad that I've even had women try to justify. I said, no, I'm doing this because I love sex. I enjoy it. And we know deep down inside, no, there's some trauma. If you do enough digging, you're going to uncover some trauma, some hurt. Because like you said, if you were to interview that person, that young lady at 12, she wouldn't say, I want to be a stripper. I want to be a prostitute. I want to be an escort. I want to be a porn star. She would not have said that. You know, I was in education. I've never heard any young lady ever say that before in my life in education, and haven't heard, and I don't know of another educator who has heard a young person say that. So you're absolutely right. Now, Eddie, last time you were on, you had mentioned that you're talking about this being this issue is even worse than what we think it is. You said something that shocked me on the last show, that you're seeing about 30 something guys a week in your practice. Has that number gone up, going down, stabilized? What's going on now with your practice?
Right now I see anywhere between 30 to 35 people a week. The reason it's that number and not higher is because I just don't have the bandwidth.
You don't have the time. Yeah.
No.
Wow.
And
know what's scary about it, Eddie, is that, and you only deal with the people who actually are at least in a place to admit, I have a problem and I need to see somebody for help. And I don't know if I mentioned this before to you before, but you knew that I remember telling you I should be in a recovery group. And I'm not kidding you, Eddie, during the years I was in recovery, I was in a recovery group for 7 years, and because I wanted to be. I mean, you don't need to be in a recovery group usually that long. But I mean, I did really well. I enjoyed being in a recovery group because of the community and the transparency and honesty. But you know what was scary, Eddie? That In those 7 years, I'm not kidding you, I saw at least 500 and something men go through that program, through that recovery group program in those 7 years. But here's the scary part. The group was never larger than five guys at a time. So what does that tell you? And that means there was a lot of, like a revolving door. And so I didn't always see the same men, you know, who come through. I'm thinking, wow. And what even frightened me even more, I can count on one hand in 7 years how many men of color I saw. One hand, Eddie, which is ridiculous.
It goes across the board. I mean, the demographic that you see, or, you know, you can't pigeonhole anyone at all. I mean, I deal with pastors. You know, I deal with professional athletes, professional television people. I deal with, you know, the janitors. I deal with the mechanics. It's just, you know, it's everyone and anyone, because it's all the same issue. Nobody wants to sit with their emotional pain and distress because they learned many years ago how to escape from it. And they escape from it by pornography, masturbation, or other sexual activities. And that's what they use today to still continue to escape from whatever emotional distressors they have.
You know, Eddie, I respect and admire men like you so much for going into this particular field, because you're dealing with a topic and an issue that most men are afraid to admit. They're afraid to come out and share. And so you deal with, and also you deal with a lot of men, and I'm sure even sometimes working with women who have experienced so much trauma associated with this, that it's got to be wearing sometimes on you, even as a caregiver and as a counselor, to be able to bear the burdens of all these people. I remember when I launched Real Men Connect, I thought about just making Real Men Connect focus strictly on this topic. And my wife kind of talked me out of it. She says, Joe, I know why you want to do it, because you went through this, but Joe, there's so many other issues that men need help with. And she was right, because I notice now that a lot of those issues feed the addiction and the pornography and everything else. But I just respect people like you, Eddie. I got a good friend, Carl Stewart, who's been on our show a few times, and he does the same thing in Alabama. He says the same thing. His practice is growing. And Eddie, you're talking about, you're just one person. He's just one person. It's not like you guys are the only ones who are doing this. Oh, it's just amazing.
No, but you know, the thing about what prevents burnout for Terry and I is that God put us here. And we know that we're doing God's work, and that's what inspires us and keeps us very motivated. And I know some people may listen to that and say, oh, please, you know, but it is the absolute truth. You know, we are here, you know, to serve others. And that's why it breaks my heart when I have to turn people away. And I turn anywhere from 4 to 6 people away every week. Fortunately, I have a couple other sources that I can send them to, refer them to, but it's still, you know, it's troublesome for me. But I also have to know what my limitations are, that I have to keep myself healthy in order that I can continue to help others.
Yeah, the phrase I often use is that we have to preserve ourselves so we can serve others, and it's called self-care. But Eddie, let's jump into what you're area of expertise in dealing with the shame part of this. And why do you think sexual sin causes us so much shame? When I say us, I'm talking about in men. Because, you know, more so than other sins, it seems like a lot of our shame is attached to the sexual part. Why do you think that's the case among men?
Well, if you think about sex, okay, I mean, it's still, even though our society has done so much since like the 1960s to bring it out of the bedroom and, you know, put it in front of our faces, it's still rather taboo. And therefore, to be able to sit there and to talk about our lust, to talk about actually uncontrolled lust, our inability to manage, you know, our desires to look at pornography or engage in other things, it is shameful. It goes against what God wants for us. And two, many times the activities that men engage in, such as going to escorts or massage parlors, are illegal. it's not something that you really want to kind of get on the rooftop and shout to the neighbors that you're involved with. Also, the fact of the matter is that we are conditioned to be, you know, the pillars of our family, to be that spiritual leader of our family. And what's happening is we're failing. If we have a pornography addiction, a sexual addiction, we're failing. And we're not establishing a legacy for ourselves. We're not setting up where, what are we going to be known for in the generation to come, except for something that's very ugly. I mean, what, think about most of this activity. Where did it take place? Take place in the dark, behind closed doors. Okay, we're not sharing it with people. And that's why it's important for men to, once you say, hey, I want help, is you need to be able to own it. You need to be able to take it out of the dark and put it in the light. Now, again, you don't have to get on a bullhorn and announce to the world, but it's to be able to share with some very safe people the fact that, yes, this is my struggle. This is what I go through. This is my brokenness. And now let me explain to you, because I've learned, why am I broken?
You know, Eddie, you deal with this all the time, I'm sure, because I haven't met a man yet who, when he acknowledges the fact, like you said, and owns it, that, man, I have a problem. I don't like this. I don't like the way it makes me feel. I don't like what it's doing to my wife and my other relationships. I don't like what it's doing to my self-worth and my identity. But yet he finds himself still sabotaging his healing. He tries, he goes and he stops and then he relapses. We're talking about that relapse. Why do you think we continue as men to do things to hurt us when we know it's only going to make things worse?
Because the motivation of trying to do things not to cause pain for other people is not strong enough to overcome the emotional traumas and issues that we have underneath.
Eddie, say that. I'm sorry to interrupt you. Say that again. That was worth repeating. Say that again.
The motivation that we have not to cause hurt or pain to other people is not powerful enough to overcome our own personal trauma or distressors that we have.
Wow.
And this is where we come to the book that I'm writing about the inner child. I'm a big believer in the inner child. We all have one. And that child is locked in a time warp. He is back in the area and the period of time that we struggled to understand what is going on around us. Why are we suffering from this pain? Why are people, you know, abusing us or being neglectful to us? Why won't Billy play with me? How come I don't fit into this group? How come mommy left us? You know, and many times kids are left on their own to try to sort through what's going on with that pain. And we don't have enough worldly experiences, and we don't have enough cognitive and rational thinking ability to be able to come up with the real solution or answer that, oh, they're the problem. So instead, we make ourselves the problem. We're the ones who have an issue. So there, you take that, you put it in a little black box, and you lock it away. And that's the inner child. So now issues come up, situations come up that are somewhat negative or distressful, and that kid gets triggered by those. And he now tried to correlate the distressor of today with one of the traumas of the past. But he's not going to sit there and try to figure it out and say, okay, what does this really look like? All he's saying is, ooh, we need to run away. I need comfort. I don't want to feel this. And therefore, then you just run. And what I'm trying to teach guys is we need to stop running. What we need to do is understand what triggers that emotional child. Therefore, I can be very mindful and aware of it. And when those triggers come, now what I'm going to do is I'm going to sit with him and we're going to process through his pain. But then I'm going to say, hey, you know what, kid? I'm taking over. I'm the one who's going to deal with this moving forward right now, because you're going to have me run. I don't want to run. Instead, what I'm going to do is I'm going to sit here and I'm going to try to process through what really happened and I'm going to put this to a very rational type of thinking process. Therefore, hopefully what I'm going to do is make the right decision.
And you correct me if I'm wrong then. So when men come to you in your office and you're dealing with them, you're walking them through this process of really examining the inner child. Is that correct?
That's correct.
To the inner child.
Absolutely. Right.
So let me ask you this then, Eddie. Okay, after you get him to come to reckoning and recognize that inner child that's still wounded, that still needs to learn how to express his emotions, is that enough at that time after he acknowledges it that this is where, okay, because I had to go through the same process myself, having abandonment issues and that kind of thing. Is that enough, or is there still a lot more that has to take place for him to finally break this thing?
Are you saying, is that enough for him just to identify?
Because he may not have ever recognized that he had abandonment issues. Like you mentioned, attachment disorder that you went through as well. Is that enough now to now say, okay, now I'm going to be okay? Or is there still a lot more work to do? Because I know there's a guy there thinking, okay, I want to break this. How long is this thing going to last? Is it just me getting to the hurt, to the trauma? Or is there a lot more work that's involved after?
No, I wish it was that simple.
Yeah, me too.
because what happens is once we've identified, okay, this is, let's say abandonment is a trigger for the kid. You know, now it has to be, okay, where did that abandonment occur? What did it look like? Who was the, I have my guy create a cast of characters. You know, we go back and we look. So let's look at your cast of characters. And that could be mom, dad, siblings, whoever. And then we start to break them down and say, okay, how did they add to this abandonment? And then from there, we have them process that. What did it feel like? And this, that's the biggest hurdle for most men, because most of these men who come in here, they have very low emotional IQs. They can't tell you what they're feeling, with the exception of, I'm angry, I'm happy, I'm sad, or I'm fearful. Other than that, they can't drill down deep to identify what they truly feel. So therefore, I'm teaching them also, what are the true emotions when it comes to the abandonment? So therefore, an example would be, I don't belong. I didn't fit in. I was different. There was something odd about me. And so now they got to process through all of that, because all of that, it becomes a lie. There's nothing wrong with you. So now I need to, for them to take it and put it to truth. And where do we get our truth? We get our truth from the Bible. We get our truth from God. How does God see you? That is how you measure yourself. So now I have a different, I rewrite the script. And the script is now, no, you know what? I'm an amazing creature. I am a child of God. I am loved unconditionally. I am accepted unconditionally. And therefore, that's where I need to get my sense of security and significance from him. Now you're on the process of really starting to roll with recovery, because I'm not only identifying where everything went wrong, now what I'm doing, I'm creating a new man. This is a new identity for me, which is really important, not just for the guy, but it's super critical for the wife, because she wants a new guy. She doesn't want the old guy. She doesn't want to go back to the old marriage. She wants to go someplace new. She has to.
Eddie, this is so good, man, and so rich. And I love, you know, and I'm going to go back and listen to this episode again myself, just for the fact that I, of course, I've been sober now for about 15 years, going on 15 years. And
congratulations.
Men always ask me all the time about, Joe, how did you do it and everything? And there's so much, like you said, it's not just a quick fix. It's over time. There's so many different components to it. But the way you just articulate, and that's why I'm going to go back and listen to it again. You helped me see the, what do you call it, the milepost or of, oh, that's right. I remember when I did that. Oh, I remember when that happened. Not realizing that this was all part of like a puzzle. And so I'm seeing this is the process that you take men through. I can see now why you have so many people coming to you. This is great for them to identify that part. But I'm glad that they heard you just say that this is, it's not going to be something that's going to be quick and easy. It's going to take time. But I love what you said about rewriting the script and then creating the new man. when I was going through my recovery, 2 Corinthians 5:17 was my anchor verse about anyone who is in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. And the old man is gone and a new man has come. All things have been made new. Because you're absolutely right. Our wives and our families, they don't want that old man. They want the new man, and that new man can be found in our identity in Christ. So, Eddie, and I don't want to misquote you here, but it seems to me that when they're coming to you in your practice, pretty much what you're helping them do is kind of like help them through an identity crisis and redefining themselves as the new man. Is that correct?
Well, absolutely. I mean, because again, their growth in who they are have been limited for whatever reason. And they've never achieved and they've never reached what their full expectation could be, what their potential could be. And that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to get them to see, what does God have in store for you? What kind of man does God see you to be? And therefore, let's become that man.
And let me ask you about this. What about that man who feels shame over just the thoughts that he battles with when it comes to sexual sin? He may not have crossed the line and may not have, went to that woman or did anything with that woman or gone to look at pornography or whatever it may be. But he struggles and he starts feeling shame because he loves to quote, when Jesus said that if you lust in your heart, you have already committed adultery. But to him, that is like beating him up. What do you say to that man who just is beating himself up over just the thoughts of battling with sexual sin?
Well, again, I mean, what we aim for is to try to be as pure as possible. But you know what? Let's face it. We are all sinners. And for men are very visually stimulated. And again, not to give an excuse for men, but that is part of the way we are hardwired. So therefore, what I tell that guy is, you know what? I can't control, you can't control the intrusive thoughts that come in. They just come in. However, what you do have control over is, what are you going to do with that thought? Are you going to sit there? Are you going to ruminate on it? Are you going to let it blow up into a full-blown fantasy? Or are you going to say, no, I think I'll take this thing captive, and I think I'll hand it over to Christ? And then I'm going to step back and I'm going to say, okay, so why is this starting to bother me today? Haven't bothered me for the last 2-3 weeks, but today now I'm having these sexual imagery or thoughts in my head. And then I tell them to go to look and see, where are you drained mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually? Because if you're drained in one of those four areas, the brain is saying, stimulation, please. And that's where sex comes in.
Oh, Eddie, this is so good, man. Great, man. Great, great information. And you mentioned something that we often share and you hear in recovery groups all the time, especially like in Celebrate Recovery. They tell you to take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. For in a practical sense, when a guy is sitting in your office and he's talking to you and he says, okay, Eddie, I know what you're saying. I need to take, but I don't know how to take the thoughts captive. What do I do with the thought when I get my arms around it? What can I do to defeat this thing? Because I know the thoughts and I don't want them beating me up. So what can I do to combat those thoughts?
Well, the whole key to that is mindfulness. First and foremost, I got to be aware that I'm really having a thought. Now, I know that sounds really strange. What do you mean, aware? Yeah, I know I'm having the thought, but what happens is it's almost dissociation. We are drifting off. We're not paying attention. So therefore, fantasies start to kick in. It's just like if you're watching TV, you're kind of oblivious to everything. You're zoned into the television. So therefore, one, we need to become more mindful of ourselves, our surroundings, what's going on in our lives. The more mindful you are, the more quickly you'll pick up the intrusive thought when it comes in. The quicker I pick it up, and now I say, okay, I need to remove this. Now, again, part of it is I'm going to replace it with something. We have to do that. So what am I going to replace it with? Well, maybe I'll start looking at some scripture to replace it with. Maybe I'm going to call a friend. Maybe I'm going to call my wife. Maybe I'm going to go do something good for myself, but I'm going to do something. Plus, I'm also going to figure out, again, how am I drained mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually? I'm starting to say, hey, instead of focusing on the thought, let me focus on what's causing the thought. Because now I'm being very proactive and I'm doing what you said earlier, self-care. It's about self-care.
And I can't write fast enough, man.
This is good. Well, that's why you have a team.
This is so good. This is good. But because it's great what you're saying, and you know, being more mindful and being focused on taking those thoughts captive. But, you know, it seems to me, this may be sacrilegious to our industry dealing with pornography and sexual addiction. You know, it seems that if anyone should be able to defeat this addiction, it should be men even more so than if women were with this addiction. And here's my theory. I'm just making this up. This is just jumped in my spirit, Eddie. Check this out. Because what you're saying is that if we're going to be mindful and we're going to take thoughts captive, it's in our DNA as men that we can only usually focus on one thing at a time. Women are multitaskers. They're thinking about a million things at the same time. But you know how women always ask, so, you know, what are you thinking of? You know, nothing. You know, I can only handle one thought at a time. And it seems that if anybody could take thoughts captive and defeat them, it would be a man, because we can't focus on two things at the same time. Women seem to be better at it. Is that crazy what I'm thinking along those lines? Because that's when you said I got hope out of that.
Well, I mean, you are absolutely right. Men are very singularly focused. Men can get flooded very easily. However, the advantage that women have over men is that most women, we're talking majority, okay, the 80-20 rule, large majority of women can sit with their emotion. They can sit with pain.
Yeah.
Men struggle with that. They want to blow it off. They want to move away. So therefore, while you're right, if men could sit with their emotional distress, process it, they would have an easier time probably doing that, because they are more singularly focused than women are. But that's the downfall that men have.
Great point, man. Great point, Eddie. Now, Eddie, I'm shifting just a little bit, because we're not the only ones out there who are ministering to men, trying to help men out. But what can we do as brothers in Christ? They may not be a counselor. They may not be a coach like us in doing what we do. But what can we do as brothers, just the average brother, to help other brothers deal with the burden of shame in their lives? Because we know that their shame could impact their relationship with us. I've seen that a lot with my friendships, that because that man has a feel that he's worthless or he's hopeless or helpless, that it impacts his intimacy with me. So as brothers, a lot of sometimes as brothers, we don't want to deal with that and we run away and we don't help that brother. What can we do to share in the burdens of other brothers without hurting them, but actually helping them in their shame?
Well, it's just what you just said right now. Stop running away. You know, it's about being real. And I like you, real men connect. Be real. And part of being real is I reach out. I'm genuine. I'm showing real concern. I'm showing real empathy versus, hey, man, let's just keep it at the 10,000 foot level. Hey, did you see what the Celtics did last night? Blah, blah, blah. No, we need to somehow dig down deeper so that we get to understand and know each other better. If I can sit there and I can demonstrate vulnerability to my brothers, maybe they will then in turn become vulnerable with me, because they will see, ooh, there's something safe here. And that takes time, but still, men are not putting that effort forward. We're very guarded, very protective, and therefore we're not connecting to the point that allows us to go deep enough so that we can be able to tend to one another's hurts and problems.
And I agree with you. You are absolutely right. You know, even us naming this ministry Real Men Connect was deliberate and intentional, because I truly believe that life is not going to get any easier. But together we can handle it together. We're better together than we are by ourselves. Now, Eddie, you had mentioned last time I had you on the show, you gave us the distinction between guilt and shame. And you told us that guilt is when we feel like we did something wrong, but shame is when we feel that we are wrong, that we are bad. And it's how we look at ourselves. And we talked a lot, even on this show now, about after we feel the shame. But and I don't know, maybe I'm just I'm wishful thinking here. Is there anything that we can do and spot as warning signs that could be that we can catch before we slide down the slippery slope of going into shame, from guilt to shame?
Yeah, I mean, again, it goes back to the idea of being real. It goes back to the idea of taking what we have that feels very dark and secretive and bring it into the light, to share, to be able to be vulnerable, to be open, to not be fearful that, oh, my emotions are something that are bad, but to realize, no, God gave them to us just as he gave us our intellectual thinking, he gave us our emotional thinking. And therefore, we're supposed to use them both together, not to run away from one. So therefore, it becomes the idea of, you know what, again, I'm going to be real with me. I'm going to do self-reflection. I'm going to ask God, circumcise my heart. Let me look inside. Let me see what's dark. And then help me to start to pick that away. Let me die each day for you by taking a part of me and surrendering it and giving it to you, putting it at the feet of Christ so that I can become a better man.
So, Eddie, is it safe to say then, as if we're, because if we're in our heads, we're in our thoughts, and if something springs up like, boy, I don't want to talk about that, or I want to hide that, or I hope nobody finds out about that. Is that a good indicator on our dashboard, emotional dashboard, that something, this is something you need to deal with, or it's only going to get worse?
Yes, absolutely. Anytime there's something where I feel like I don't want people to know, or I'm fearful of sharing, those two things, I don't want someone to know and I'm fearful, then I realize, ooh, you know what? This has the potential, if I let it to linger, allow it to linger, that it can turn worse. It can get bad. And I need to, at this point in time, find the courage to be able to go outside of myself and to share it with someone, to be able to say, hey, this is what I'm going through right now.
Good stuff, man. Good stuff. Eddie, what do you think then that we as men misunderstand when it comes to shame and sexual sin? That we just don't seem to, that we're missing it because we just are not knowledgeable about it. What do you notice about that?
Well, I think from a sexual standpoint, what we're missing is the idea that we are supposed to be respectful. And what I mean by respectful is not just respectful of women, but respectful of ourselves. That sex is a gift from God that was given to us, not just for the creation of children, but something for a man and a woman who are in love to be able to share, to have pleasure with. It is supposed to be used to strengthen our emotional intimacy. And I think many men have misconceptions of what sex is really about, and they just think of it as this pleasurable act, and that's not the way it was designed. It was designed to be doing it with someone, but someone who we are in union with, and therefore to strengthen that union and that bond.
Yeah, and the thing that I know the Bible tells us that if we want wisdom, we can ask God, he'll give it to us generously. And I think we need to be seeking God, asking for more wisdom when it comes to this. And you're educating us a lot, giving us a lot to think about. And I'm telling you, this is one of the archivable episodes, man, that need to go back and continue to listen to, because this is ministering to my heart. And I know it's going to help me minister to more men. That's why I love doing this show as well, is that not only do I get to learn, but I learn it twice. I learn it from the guest who comes on the show. And then when I'm teaching it, I'm learning it again. And so, Eddie, you're really, trust me, man, you're a blessing to a lot of men out there who are listening to this, because I deal with so many of them. And, you know, last time you were on the show, we did the man up questions. And if they want to go hear your responses to that, they can. But I'm going to forego the man up questions because I still have some questions I want to squeeze in, because I want to help that man where he is and let him know that there is hope. There is healing, there is restoration, and that this addiction, this sin, these things are not going to overtake us and overcome us. There's so many, you know, we hear about how your practice right now is booming because of the problem. But Eddie, I'm sure you could take up an entire show talking about the success stories that have come out of your practices as well, couldn't you?
Yes, and you know what? The success that we see, and I will tell you, we see a lot, but the reason we see it is not because of myself and my wife. It's because the Holy Spirit is here. You know, God, this is God. Well, that's the thing I love about my job. And I think I said it in the first show, is that, I shouldn't even say job. It's not a job.
It's a joy.
I get to see God at work every day. And that, there is a lot of success that goes on. I can tell you about men who've had same-sex attraction, who have turned away and said no. They're now just, you know, deeply devoted and attracted only to their wife. You know, I can tell you about the man who had, you know, 30, 40 different affairs, who him and his wife have learned to reconnect. And now he has learned that she is all he really needs. I can share with you the idea of men who didn't know how to connect with themselves emotionally, identify, or to be able to take on someone else's emotion. And now they learn to be vulnerable and open. There is so much success that we have seen, and it brings us so much joy to know that we have been part of his plan to make a difference, because that's what it's really all about.
Yeah, and Eddie, I'm glad that you shared that, because I'm also fearful a lot of times that when we do shows like this, that man who's struggling to find himself in that trench, in that stuck in that on that treadmill and thinking, man, this is never going to get better. Yeah, you know, Eddie, Joe, and the other guys he may bring on the show, they're exceptions, but they don't realize that for every person they hear like us, there are hundreds of other guys who don't have shows, don't write books, they're not counselors, who've overcome this. We just wish more men would get into the fight together to help each other. But I'm going to shift it, because I really want to get these questions in before we leave, because I want to shift it to bringing our wives in it. Your wife is with you, Terry is with you in this practice, doing this with you. But as men, we have a lot of times we have a hard time because of the shame of communicating with our wives when it comes to sexual sin and being in sexual bondage. And we know that we have our brothers we can go to in community and connecting with them. But how should or could we communicate better with our wives about our sexual struggles? Do you have any advice for us in that area, Eddie?
Yeah, it's part of, again, being real enough, being honest with yourself enough to be honest with them. You will find out that to women, what's worse than the sexual sin is the lying and the deceit.
Say that again, Eddie. Say that again.
What is more troubling to women than the sexual sin is the lying and deceit. That destroys them.
Eddie, when my ex-wife said that, I thought she was crazy. And now, in hindsight, she was absolutely right. She said, that was bad, but it's the lying about it and the cover-up and not knowing who her real husband was, the double life. But go ahead, Ed. I didn't mean to cut you off, but that I want men to let that resonate in their spirit. But go ahead, man.
Right. That's exactly what you just said. Because if I can't, once I know you've lied and deceived me, what else are you lying and deceiving me? How can I ever trust you again? Remember, what is a foundation of a relationship? It's about emotional intimacy. And what's at the heart of emotional intimacy? Trust. So therefore, it's like I put everything out there for you and you haven't done the same for me. So that's why when if a guy goes to a woman and says, hey, I just need to tell you I've been messing up. This is what's going on with me. I'm going to go seek help. Yeah, you're not going to be met with applause and her throwing her arms around you and saying, oh, you're so wonderful. I'm so glad that you have, you know, admitted this. That's not what's going to happen. She's going to be hurt. She's going to be upset. But the fact that you did it, you came forward versus her finding it, going to make a huge difference.
Huge, huge difference.
Right. And then once she sees, oh, okay, wait a second, you really are committed to change, that allows her to start to develop the empathy. But if I tell guys, you got two jobs, One, your recovery, but two, you need to start to also help her heal, which means you got to be able to stand there and take the rocks, because she's got a barrel of them and they're coming at you. And you cannot be ducking them. You can't be stonewalling. You need to be able to just say, you know what? You deserve, and you're right. This is what happens. I deserve it. And I'm here for you. I can sit with you in your pain.
Now, Eddie, God bless our wives, because, you know, us going through these struggles with them, we have to go to them about this stuff. How can we prevent them from falling into shame themselves? You know what I mean? When they start thinking something's wrong with them and that it was their fault. And how do we help? Because you said part of our responsibility is to help them heal. And, but there's nothing worse than when they start taking on the shame themselves, because they didn't have that problem until we started expressing our struggles. But, and I'm not saying all women, but you know what I'm talking about. But the women who do, what can we do as husbands to help them with that?
Well, immediately, Joe, there's really not a whole lot you can do. I mean, they have to go through and process and do their own recovery work. They have to do their own grieving. And part of that is really hearing from an independent party that this really has nothing to do with you. I could replace you with any other woman in the world, and he'd still be doing that.
He'd still be doing it, right.
Right? Right. But what we can do with men is to say, you know what? I am going to make the commitment moving forward to be able to demonstrate to my wife that, with the exception of God, she is the most important thing to me. And then being able to show that through our actions and our inactions, that that's my commitment to you. If we committing ourselves, that they become our priority, and everything that we are going to do will be to help them heal, to make them feel unique, make them feel special. I'm not trying to make her feel happy. That's not it. I just want her to know that she's honored and she's respected. And but that comes later down the line, after she does her healing, to be able to reconnect. Because, I mean, once it all falls apart, you could sit there and say whatever you want, but it's coming out of your mouth, which means that it's probably a lie in her eyes.
Right, right. Now, and let me flip the script a little bit. What about for that man who had, he goes to his wife, but she's not going to walk in shame about it. She's not internalized, oh, something's wrong with me. No, she said, oh, no, Eddie, you're the problem. I see that. But yet she constantly reminds you of your sins and pushes you deeper into shame. Now, we still got to take responsibility for ourselves. But what do you say to that man who has to combat the negativity of a wife who keeps bringing up his past, or even friends, close friends and family members who brings up his past, and kind of start having his battle with shame becomes even more intense because he's not getting the support he needs from the people close to him?
Right. Well, again, at the beginning, this is the barrel of rocks, and they're going to come at you, and there's really not much you can do in that regard. She's angry. She's hurt. And what I try to get guys to see is, when you're seeing hostility, I need you to say, no, 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 no. That's not what I'm seeing. What I'm seeing is pain. I see pain. And therefore, now I become more empathetic toward her, more understanding. Now, if this, and a woman's recovery is anywhere between 12 to 24 months, depending on, one, does she have previous her own scars of trauma from her past, and this exacerbated it, or what is the sins that he has committed? But once she's through that period where we feel, okay, look, you've done your processing, you've done all that, if she's still lighting into him and attacking him, then we understand we're dealing with very complicated grief. And therefore, she needs some more intensive work along the line to help her with that.
So basically saying he should not internalize her her reaction, being reacting, because she got a deeper issue. It's more so it's not even what he's dealing with. She's dealing with some deeper trauma. That needs some healing.
See, what you're saying is what I tell guys. I go, you know what? And guys do this all the time. They allow their emotions to trump her emotions. So therefore, she's sitting here talking about how hurt and upset she is, and she can't believe you did this, and that this is, you know, just the worst thing that's ever happened. And he's like, oh, I feel horrible. I feel terrible. And he wants to run away from her. And like, whoa, wait a second. How are you? She's the one who's grieving here. She's hurting, and you've made it about you. And we can't be doing that. Instead, we have to be able to put that to the side. You come into counseling, you can talk about it all you want, how much you're hurting there. But instead, you have to, this is one of the consequences of our sins. And this is what I mean by helping her heal. If I talk about it, I say, walk into the fire. There's many times that guys will come in and they'll say to me, oh, wow, it's been really good. It's been so amazing. I haven't really heard anything from her. There's been no escalation. I'm like, okay, have you asked her about it? No, why would I do that? That's crazy. I go, because you should, because while you may see smooth water on the top, there's a storm rumbling underneath. Walk into the fire, ask, you know what? Talk to me. What's the week been like for you? How much have you been thinking about what I've done? And the reason I call it walk into the fire is because you're probably going to get burnt. But the message you deliver is, again, you can sit here with me with my pain.
Wow, Eddie, man, I tell you, man, I can't believe the time is going by so fast. Guys, because we've reached the end of our show today. But don't you worry, we'll be back to do it again next week with a new guest and new insights and new lessons. So make sure you don't miss it. But I want to thank my guest, Eddie Caparucci, for joining us again today on our show and being so gracious with his time. Because obviously you guys here, he has a very busy practice. But thank you, Eddie, man, for coming on our show again, man. I really appreciate it.
No, Joe, thank you. I really appreciate having the forum to be able to talk about this. I hope that we made a difference today.
Oh, yes, we have, man. Yes, you have. And I thank God. We prayed before we came on the air, and God showed up in a mighty way through you. And I thank you for your ministry, and I'm praying for your ministry, because I know, having walked through this fire myself and ruined a family through it, and now on the other side of seeing that God can redeem and restore what was lost and was taken by the enemy. And so there is hope. And Eddie, trust me, you have given men a lot of hope today, a lot of hope today. And I'm praying for eternal rewards for you in heaven, man, because what you're doing is so necessary and so needed, even though we don't discuss it as much as we should in the churches. But Eddie, before we let you get out of here, we told about the new book coming out, and hopefully it'll be out by next spring, if not sooner than that. But if they wanted to reach out to you earlier than that, and they want to find out more about you and what you're doing down in Marietta, how could they best contact you?
Yeah, they can reach me by my email, which is very simple. It's edcappa, E-D-C-A-P-P-A, at gmail.com. And that's like P as in Paul. They can reach me there, or they can go to my website, AbundantLifeCounselingGA.com.
Abundant Life Counseling, you said?
G-A, like G-A. Georgia. G-A.
Gotcha. And guys, and please, if this show has blessed you, let us know about it. Drop us an email. And now you have Eddie's Gmail account, or his address. We'll put that in the show notes. So reach out to Eddie and let him know what you thought about it too as well. And if you can, please do us a quick favor. This is so important. Take about 30 seconds, go over to iTunes and rate the program for us. Just give us a rating. Let us know what your honest thoughts about the program was, because it's the best way to help us get the program in the hands, ears, and hearts of men just like you. And please don't keep us a secret. Share us with your friends. So until next time, I'm Joe Martin, your man builder with RealMenConnect.com, reminding you that we are males by birth, but we are men by choice. So each and every day, choose to be the man that God called and created you to be, because a male is a terrible, terrible thing to waste. So until next time, stay strong, stay blessed, and as always, stay in God's grip.
Thank you for listening to the Real Men Connect podcast with Dr. Joe Martin. Real Men Connect isn't just a podcast. It's a mission, ministry, and movement to help good men become the great men God called and created us to be. And the best is yet to come. So if you enjoyed this episode, go ahead and leave us a review in iTunes. It really helps us to build the podcast and to reach, teach, and impact more men, all for the glory of God. And make sure you check out RealMenConnect.com to get our free tools and resources to help you go from good man to great man God's way. Again, that's RealMenConnect.com. Thank you for listening. We'll see you in the next episode.